Well, if you have your Bible, would you join me in the New Testament book of 1 Peter? It's toward the end of the Bible. If you work your way back from Revelation, you'll see a few short little books or letters from Jude, John, and then if you go to James and Hebrews, you went a little far. So 1 Peter, he wrote two letters to the church, to the believers, and 1 Peter chapter 1. And just for sake of time, we'll put some verses on the screen. If you want to write them down on the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down any scripture references that you may want to take with you today. I hope that you'll do that. I hope that you'll kind of think about God's word, maybe sometime during the day or during the week, reflect back on it. And today I do want to continue on in a series of messages I began out of the devotional called Walk in Newness of Life, 21 Days. So I'll mention that in just a moment. So if 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to open with scripture from Ephesians 4, if you want to write that down. We put it on the screen. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation this morning, these opening verses. Typically, I use the New King James Version. It's not a competition. They all, I believe, have some good points. But sometimes just the way it's worded, I believe, can maybe speak to us a little differently. So Ephesians chapter 4 will be on the screen, and then I'll join you in 1 Peter chapter 1. And so, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity now and privilege. Lord, you know I don't take this lightly. It's a great privilege, but it's a great responsibility. I could lead people astray with words that I speak. So I'm asking you to help me to not only speak your truth, help me to speak only what you want me to say today, but all of it. Help me to say it how you would have me to say it. And ultimately, I ask you for grace and strength to help me live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 4, I'll begin reading in verse 11 in the New Living. It says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people." Would you please say equip? So to equip God's people to do what? To do his work and build up the church, which is the body of Christ. Verse 13, "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." That is the goal, that we would grow. I'll say it this way. God wants us to grow closer to him. He's a father, and he wants his sons and daughters to get to know him and be close to him. And he also wants us to grow more like his son. And that's what this scripture is speaking of. In churches, we as churches have a responsibility to equip God's people to make that happen. I can't do it for anyone, but I can do my part. And so that's all that God calls us to do. Then verse 14, if we grow in Christ's likeness, it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. And then this next sentence, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever they sound like truth. This is so important because growing in Christ's likeness is not only a sign of life, that I am actually in Christ and I'm indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. Growing in Christ's likeness is a safeguard against deception. So then he goes on. Let me finish reading this section here. And the Bible says this, verses 15 and 16. "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way." Would you please say every way?
Every way.
"More and more like Christ." Again, he's the goal. "Who is the head of his body, the church." And then verse 16, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work." Please think about that. You have a place in God's family and in the body of Christ. God has a call for your own special work. It's not my work, but it's yours. And we may have similar callings, and there are some that are, but it's uniquely you. And you can contribute to the health and growth of the church, of the body of Christ, by what Scripture says here, your own special work. In fact, would you just turn to somebody next to you? We just tell them, you have a very special work to do. And the church is to help equip you to do that work, your ministry, your call. And then it says this, it helps the other parts grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So it's all part of a larger picture of what Jesus commanded us to do in his final words before he left this earth. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And now in my authority, I'm commissioning you to go make more disciples, more followers of Jesus. Baptize them and teach them all I've taught you. And remember this, I'm going to be with you each and every day as you do that. So it's fulfilling God's call. And then if you're there in 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to begin reading verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 says this, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. I want to stress this. We cannot be born again without the seed of God's word. We might only know John 3:16. It doesn't matter. That's enough to get you saved. That's enough. If God would draw us, that's enough to, you know, even this month, I want to share a little bit of some testimonies and a short video on Wednesday evening. I can't show some of those videos in a public setting like this on the internet, but what God is doing over in the Middle East. But I'm thankful, even during this month of Ramadan, I didn't realize this until recently, that there seems to be more, like Muslim people have more visions and dreams of Jesus during Ramadan than the other times during the year. But that's still not enough. They have to still come into contact with someone who can share the gospel with them. But that opens their heart, and sometimes they seek. And I love hearing the testimonies and reading what God is doing about that. But just there has to be enough of the word of God that is the good news that I have sinned against a holy God. My sin separates me from him. But this God loved me so much, he punished my sin on his son on the cross. And then he didn't just die. He was raised from the dead 3 days later. And if I will receive this Holy One as my Lord and Savior, Jesus, and believe in my heart, I'll be forgiven, and God's Holy Spirit will live on the inside of me, and he'll be with me every step in this life, and I'm going to be with him forever. That's good news. So the word of God is not only for to bring us into life. Let's keep reading here. In verse 24, because all flesh is as grass, the glory of man is the flower of the grass. Grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And then chapter 2, the first two verses. Therefore, because of that, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. And then verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Here's the message this morning. Desire God's word. Desire God's word. I said a moment ago, we can't even be born again without at least the seed of God's word. And I want to say this too, with the equal emphasis, that we cannot grow spiritually without God's word. We cannot grow spiritually in Christ's likeness without God's word. We don't have to be a Bible scholar or something like that. It's just he says, desire it so that you may grow by it. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I wrote this devotional the first 5 days to lay a foundation of faith in God and confidence in his word, that the Bible, here's what I really want. I want this book, may I hold it a second? I'm sorry, I won't try to take your place. You could have left it open. I want this book to get you into this book. Thank you. And so I wrote it. I pray that it will lead people to Jesus. It will encourage us who are believers in our walk with the Lord and equip us as a tool. That's why I've got it in the toolbox. As a tool to use that we can disciple others. Now, yesterday, let me thank Miss Diane. Becky is back. Becky is back in the children. And see, you made me lose my train of thought. I know I was just... I want to thank y'all for decorating, to changing the decorations out. Save my life. Lord, deliver me from all fears. All right. But I asked her, yesterday if she would do this. She just didn't know I was gonna do it during the message. And so in the devotional, in the introduction, I just simply said, it's a blessing if you can go through this with someone. And that way you can both, maybe you can each share what stood out to you, or you could answer that day's closing question and just kind of share it that way. And so I want it to be very, very simple. Now I've already asked someone else next week, a young man, and he knows it's coming, so he's okay. So if I make it to the end of this service, I told her, I said, it's not a right or wrong. It's what stood out to you. So day 9 is, how can I grow as a Christian? So that's the theme. So did any part of day 9 stand out to you?
Actually, yes, Rocky did it. Maybe 2 or 3 okay. sentences in your book that stood out. And it was, read the word, understand the word, think about what you're reading,
okay.
how to take it. But what I liked the best was share it. And it's true. If you share it with your loved
one. Let me pause. Okay. See, you're doing great. I just got to repeat it so everyone can hear and those online as well. She said what stood out to her was about that we read the word and we get it in us and we seek to understand. That's such a great, that's a scriptural desire and a prayer. And not only that we seek to understand it for ourselves, but that we share it.
That we share.
Thank you. Okay, and then what else?
And I enjoy sharing it because then I get their perspective to go with mine. And I actually learn more. I think more about it. I feel like I get closer to the Lord. And then the last part, which is so true, be careful. And you mentioned that earlier. Be very careful at people that's out there. Because there are people out there that will try to trick you, change what the good Lord said, make it their way or no way. And that's not so. And I had a good example because Satan is there.
I should have given you the mic.
Oh, I would have hurt you.
But let me, because let me at least repeat what you got, that it does help when we share with someone else because we get their perspective.
Yes.
We have our perspective, but it broadens it when we get it from someone else. And to be wise about, because that, just like eating, desire the pure milk of the word, it only takes a little bit of poison to kill someone.
And a good example was my car decided to get sick along with me. And Satan was back in the back of my mind telling me, see, if God was with you, this would be happening. Because I had other things going on bad in my life. And if I didn't really think about his word and knowing that he was with me, I might would have gone Satan's way. But I thought, no.
Praise the Lord.
He says he's with me and he will. He will stay with me, and he'll get me through it. And you know my car is well.
And you are well. Amen. Thank God. So again, having car troubles, having health issues, going through all kind of stuff, and hearing that voice of the accuser, if God was with you, you wouldn't be going through this.
Yes.
It's the same word that Gideon said to the angel of the Lord when he appeared and said, you mighty man of valor. And he said, the Lord is with you. Well, if you're with us, why are we going through all this trouble? Oh, he's still with you. And that's the key that kept her on track. But that came from the truth of God's word.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. All right. So we cannot grow without, now am I going to live after this service? That's what I want to know. All right. We cannot grow spiritually without God's word. Let me give you a couple verses here if you want to write these down. I'll read them from the book of Psalms. Psalms 119, 103 says this, how sweet are your words to my taste. Remember, we're talking about desiring. So he says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So God's word spiritually can be sweeter than honey to us. And then he says in the same Psalm, verse 127, therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. I want that to be my testimony, that I like honey, but God's word is to me sweeter than honey. And I need to pay bills just like everybody else. And I'd love to have, you know, a retirement set up and all the things that we may have access to of the blessings in our country. But God's word, I treasure it more than money. I can lose some money, but I can't lose this. I need God's word. And we can develop that desire. And that's what this scripture talks about. He says, desire it. So if I don't desire it, I can develop a desire. I can develop a hunger for God's word. I can develop a love for God's word. Because here is the key that I've learned in life. If we desire something strong enough, we pursue it with actions. I can say I want to learn Spanish, but until I put forth the effort to commit time and study and so forth into it, the desire is not strong enough. So if we desire God's word strong enough, we will pursue it. We'll get into it somehow. We'll hear it, man. We'll put it on an app or we'll sing it. There's multiple ways to get it in us. So we will desire God's word. Would you please say that with me? Desire God's word. And then he says in this scripture, desire the pure milk of the word. Let me explain that a little bit. The pure means we do not add to or take away from God's word. And milk is a newborn baby. The Bible compares spiritual growth to physical growth. So when someone is born again, they're a new Christian, they're a baby Christian. And then he says, desire, you want to grow? That baby, any baby in this world will let you know if he or she is hungry. And they want to be fed. And God says, I want you to desire my word that way. And I'll feed you. I'll give you fresh manna from on high. It will be revelation to you. So desire the word, but you start with the pure milk. Milk is the basic truths of scripture. And then build on those. Don't stay a baby Christian, but build on them. How many of you have ever heard this phrase? I'm just gonna say something and you fill in the last word if you know what it is, okay? Keep your eye on the, well, maybe that's two sentences, sorry. Two sayings. If you're a sports fan, keep your eye on the ball. That's basic. But do you know there are some players that'll get into a play or situation, they make millions of dollars a year and you can see their head start to turn just a little bit and there's a drop pass or there is a ball or there is a strike or there is a, whatever it is. And start with the basics and then build on them. If you complete this 21-day devotional, you'll have at least a grounding of some basic truths of God's word. So desire God's word and then don't add to it or take away. And I want to come back to that in maybe before we close about just interpretation, okay? So let me ask you to turn to Mark chapter 4. If you're in 1 Peter chapter 1, Mark chapter 4. And as you're turning, would you please turn to someone next to you and just tell them, desire God's word? I'm going to give you just maybe about three more scriptures here. Mark chapter 4. And this is an illustration that Jesus gave. We call it a parable or a story. It's a picture of our hearts and how we receive God's word. So Mark chapter 4, I'll give you a moment to turn there. I'll begin reading in verse 14 as Jesus explains the story. All right? Mark chapter 4 and verse 14 about a farmer sowing seed. Verse 14, he says, the sower sows what? Sows the word. So we plant God's word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes. That really stands out to me. He comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now that could be the gospel to someone who's not saved, but it could also be to us as believers. That's why I think it's so important when we receive God's word, we ask him to help us understand it, help us to get to know him better and live it out, but then guard it, protect it. Don't let Satan steal it out of your heart, then it can't bear fruit. Then he goes on, he says this, verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. That's good. Verse 17. But they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. And then afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So let's kind of walk through this a second. We not only have to receive the word, so we must be humble enough to receive it. Then we must guard it. And then we must get it rooted deeply in our hearts, because if we don't, as soon as trouble comes along, then I thought this Christian life was going to be easy. I thought God was just going to pay all my bills and that would be it. So get it deeply rooted. God can bless, but we got to get it right first, get the order right. And then the next scripture says in verse 18, it says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, and notice the desires for other things. We're talking about desiring the word. We can desire all kinds of stuff. Desires for other things will enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We can let the cares of this life, we can let, I just need more money. Maybe you do to help, but that's not the real ultimate answer. What we need is the wisdom of God's word to help us manage it wisely. So to get it in and then not to be choked out by all the other desires and so forth. See how we have to constantly guard our heart? It's like you can't just let the garden go and think it's going to produce everything like it should. You got to keep the weeds out. And we got to water it. And so that's how we do with God's word. We get it planted, we water it, keep the weeds of all the other stuff out. And then Jesus said this, and thank God for this assurance, verse 20. But these are the ones on good ground who hear the word, accept it, they welcome it, receive it, and bear fruit. Some 30 times what was sown, some 60 times, and some 100 times what was planted. So thank God, Jesus said, we will bear fruit if we do our part. The seed works. The seed is good. We just have to make sure our hearts are good ground to receive it in. All right? I love you. I want you to be fruitful. I want to read this. I want to read just three verses in the New Living Translation. Then I'll ask you to turn to Luke and we'll look up a couple more. The Bible says this in the New Living Translation of that same chapter, Mark 4, 23, says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. Would you please say that with me? Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given and you'll receive even more. But to those who are listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken from them. So please just between you and the Lord now in your own heart, I want to ask you, what hearing do you give God's word? Do you have ears to hear? Do you give it your attention and your focus? That's why I put a confession on day 9 in the devotional that says the blessing and growth I receive from God's word will be in direct proportion to the attention and thought I give to God's word. So we water that word. Now would you turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. Why did God give us his word? You think he wants us to know him? He gave us his word because he wants us to know him and he wants us to know his will. He didn't keep us in the dark. Sometimes we don't know God's will, and that's where let's build on what we do know from God's word and then what we don't know, like specifically, what career should I pursue? What college should I attend? The Bible doesn't address that specifically, but if I cover what it does address, then I pray and the Holy Spirit can lead me in what it doesn't. So it's still part of God's will and God's revelation. So just like Miss Diane, the Bible scholar over there said, we pray and we ask the Lord when we open his word, because if he revealed himself and his will in it, then Lord, as I read this, as I read this devotion, as I think on this scripture, help me to get to know you better. I want to know your will, and I want to ask you to help me. I need the power to live it out. That's the ultimate goal, is that we live it out and that's we grow in Christ's likeness. So Luke chapter 24, and I want to show a picture on the screen before we read these words from Jesus. This account was after he was raised from the dead on that Sunday, and he's speaking to a couple of men who meet him. They didn't recognize him initially until he opened their eyes. And when we read certain scriptures, this is important about interpretation, as you mentioned earlier. Always keep it in context. It's easy. I've noticed there is a tendency, and I'm not critiquing anyone, but I don't think people do it with evil hearts, but we can pull a scripture out of God's word without really knowing the context and try to apply it to our situation, and it may not be something that's for me. It may have been for the nation of Israel at a time. There is still a truth I can learn from that. But what is the context? What did it say before and after? And this is so important. Whenever you read one scripture and maybe you don't understand it or it doesn't make sense, always interpret it in light of the whole picture, of the whole. So I put up a picture of a puzzle piece. And this is a picture of one puzzle piece that I have up here. I took a picture of it so you could see it on the screen better. And if you just see that one piece, most of us probably can't tell what the picture is. How many of you have ever put a puzzle together? Would you show me your hands? Do you put the picture of the box up so you can see the picture while you try to put it together? Yes. Seeing the whole picture helps you find the part, right? Yes. Same thing. So Jesus said this, Luke chapter 24, verse 25. And Jesus speaking to them, and he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ, the Messiah, to have suffered these things and entered into his glory?" And then verse 27, beginning at Moses, that's first books of the Bible, and all the prophets, that's running on through the Old Testament. He expounded to them in all the scriptures. How many scriptures? All the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And then if you drop down to verse 32, and then they said to one another, "Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road?" And notice, while he opened the scriptures to us. See how important it is that he can open our understanding, our spiritual eyes. "Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law," the psalmist said. Then verse 44, two verses, 44 and 45. And then Jesus said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. This is so important. Whenever we come across one scripture that we just don't, it doesn't seem like it fits with the rest of it, always put it back where it belongs. Make sure you put it in the context of all of it. And if it comes up to anything other than pointing it all to Jesus, it's not the correct interpretation. Jesus said, "It was all written about me, and I fulfilled it," Old and New Testaments. So let's put that one piece in the picture now, and you see the whole picture of what's up here. See a little, that one piece is right up there. But when you see the whole picture, does it help? So same thing. I don't understand what that verse means. That's okay. We don't know it all. Try to learn it, but see it in the context of the whole picture. It all points to Jesus ultimately. All right, last scripture, if you join me in Luke chapter 10, and I'm done. Luke chapter 10. I wrote in the devotional on this day that the first recorded temptation that we have in the Bible is when Satan said, "Has God said? Did God really say that?" And what he did was he questioned the authority of God's word and the goodness of God's character and his heart. And as a result, look what happened. And I wrote in the devotional that Satan will try to get us to doubt. I want to read it to you. Satan will try to get us to doubt the truth, power, and importance of God's word so that we neglect it or we are distracted from it. Neglect it or distract it from it. Luke chapter 10, have you found it? Verse 38, Jesus in the home of two sisters. And the Bible says this, and it happened that as he entered a certain village, a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was, and please notice these words, all right? She was distracted. Would you please say distracted? Distracted. She was distracted with much serving. Is it good to serve the Lord? Of course. But there is a place and a time for serving. But there is also a place and a time for sitting in Jesus' feet and being with him and hearing his word. And right then, it wasn't the time to be distracted. But notice what happened because she was. She was distracted with much serving, and she came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care? So right off the bat, you question the Lord's care because we're distracted from him. So don't you care, my sister? And then we start looking at some others. She left me to serve alone. Tell her to help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, my beloved Martha. He said, you are, notice she was distracted first. Now she became worried and troubled. Notice the order. The worry and trouble came after the distraction. She was distracted from Jesus and his word, and then worry and trouble started to win the day. You're worried and troubled, notice, about a thing or two, about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Thank God. If we're worried and troubled, let's be willing to at least examine our hearts. Lord, have I distracted? Have I lost my focus on you? And I'm focused, I'm fixated on everything else and not on you and your word to help me come through this. If you want to write this last scripture down, it's just Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and we'll close. But I want to read something to you. One of the devotionals I read every day is called The Upper Room. And people contribute from different places. This one day, it was a lady from the Dominican Republic who wrote this particular devotion this week. And this is what she wrote about it. I thought it was so timely. It really stood out to me. She says, our devotional time is indispensable for our spiritual health and is a way to cultivate strong relationship with God. So it's that time like Martha with, or Mary with Jesus and his word. This is what she said. Time with God creates an oasis of healing, freedom, comfort, and strength. But see, if we just come to the Lord with our complaint list, we're probably not going to receive that. But if we come and say, Lord, I'm here for you right now. Here's all my complaints and my worries and troubles. But right now I need you. And I need to hear from you. I need your word to give me life, healing, freedom, comfort, and strength. That's what she says. It's where we feel loved, affirmed, and I love this, more prepared to withstand moments of adversity and temptation, because those moments are coming. And sometimes it's not just a moment. Can I get a witness? Adversity and temptation might not be a moment. It might be a season, but I can better handle it with the grace of God if I'm willing to give him a little time and just sit at his feet, so to speak, give him my attention and open my heart and my ears to his word. Feed me. Lord, help me. So Jesus said this, I'll close, Matthew 4:4. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, one of these three temptations, the devil tried to get him to do something that would not have been wrong to do, necessarily to eat, but he tried to get him to meet a legitimate need out of God's will. That's so important. The devil would try to get us to meet a legitimate need outside of God's will. And so what did Jesus do? How did he respond? But he answered and said, and would you please read these words with me? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, just let's pause with this. I want to ask you to think about this in relation to your own priorities and schedule. Where does God and his word fit in? Maybe for some of us, we need to reprioritize. Maybe it's not that we hate God at all. We love him. We're thankful that we know him. We want to grow, but we've gotten away. Maybe distracted, maybe busy, occupied. But how can I work I need to make time with the Lord and his word a priority in my life, or I'm not going to be able to go through like he wants me to. I won't have peace and I won't bear the fruit of God's spirit if I don't. How can I do that? Lord, help me to manage my schedule better or just prioritize it. I've got all kind of time for social media and the phone and sports and talking and politics and weather, and all of those can have their place, but not to the expense of God and our time with the Lord and his word. So this morning, would you just think about that? And can we stand together? And I just want to ask you to think about, Lord, I want time with you and your word to be a daily priority, not a rare occasion when I'm going through a tough time. I want you to be my daily bread. I want your word to be my daily bread, as Jesus said. Now help me to have wisdom to live it out. So Father, I pray that you would just draw us to yourself and your will right now. Give us grace. Help us, Lord. We do need you. We would be lost without you. But I'm thankful that you're available. I want to ask you this morning. We'll pray and have this worship song. But would you like me to pray for you today to just say, I need to get back on track? I'm not critiquing you. I just want to pray for you. But if there's anyone here today who said, Brother Rocky, I need to get back on track. I need to reprioritize my time with the Lord daily and to open his word somehow on an app, in the scripture, in a devotion. Somehow I need to have his word to feed me, feed my faith. I need wisdom in how to live from his word. It's all right here. We just have to seek it. Is there anyone who would say, would you please pray for me? I just want prayer this morning. Would you raise your hands and let me pray for you? I thank God for you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Lord, we step up to you together. Sometimes we just get busy in life and we get occupied. We don't always mean to do it. But Lord, we do need you. And so this morning, rekindle that. I do ask for wisdom in our schedule. I know sometimes we're in busy seasons. We've got demands in our children or school or work and whatever it may be. I just ask that you would give us great wisdom to make you a priority within that schedule so that we can give you our attention, whenever that may be in our day, to give you our best. And then may you feed us with the living word. You told us to desire it, so we desire it. Help us to develop a holy hunger for your presence, for your word, and ultimately to live it out in Jesus' name.